Some tea helped. Also, some pants. You look better, Moses said, as she settled down into a chair next to Gregor at the table. I feel better, she said. Nothing wounded but my pride.
It was the painkillers, Gregor said. You should have seen me when I woke up.
Oh, did you attack anyone? He colored a little.
Not quite.
Moses leant in and conferred in confidential tones.
Your friend here decided that his clothes were some sort of enemy ruse and so saw fit to strip down and run naked into the street.
Roz's eyes went wide, and she looked at Gregor. He held her gaze and then burst into mortified laughter.
Best part, he said, it took 3 passers-by a half hour to bring me back.
It's true, Moses said, but I think that's mainly because no one wanted to grab the naked, muddy, crazy guy.
Muddy? Roz asked.
Gregor started then. I had the idea that my enemies were tracking me via my body heat, so I had the brilliant idea to cover myself in mud, to mask my thermal signature.
This time, they all had a good laugh, at Gregor's expense.
Going on a supply run, Gregor said. Plus, it's been a while since I ate anything grown in the forest, or, no offense, Moses, way too bad for me. Gotta get me some deep-fried anything. You gonna be okay here, Roz?
Roz nodded. Go, she said. Have fun. He looked at her for a long moment, then said,
Okay, I'll be back soon.
Moses watched him go, then said,
He's very concerned for your well-being. You should have seen him sitting by your bedside while you healed. He hardly let you nor your case out of his sight, and when he didn't stray far.
Roz smiled. Well, the last time I sat down with a couple of citizens of the TR, things didn't go very well, she said.
Gregor told me, Moses replied. In fact, during your little nap and slightly after his unclothed escaped, your friend was able to relay to me the sum of your troubles. I knew Ivan once, you know. He was a great man.
Roz sighed and looked down at her teacup.
Yes, she said. He was. That said, I'll do what I can to facilitate you in any way that I can. I know better than anyone in the Republic how immediate the threat of Silos is. That, and I have every intention of making an appearance at the conference, Gregor insisted.
Roz smiled. That sounds like him. But it's still anybody's guess as to whether Mikhail will get here in time, and even then if he'll be able to convince the chairman to call the conference. Moses leant back and steepled his fingers.
Mikhail, convince the chairman?
He was supposed to follow us out here, make arrangements to bring everyone together.
I see, Moses said, curiously neutral. Then, Roz, how long do you think you've been out?
I don't know, a couple days?
What if I told you that when I found you, your humerus was broken in 3 places, that your right anterior cruciate ligament was torn entirely in 2, that you had suffered a concussion so severe that I was afraid you'd never awake?
Roz paused, flexing her bandaged arm experimentally.
I don't know. I just figured that you were working some sort of TR mojo on me. Maybe shot me up with nanobots or slathered me in exotic plant unguents while I was out?
Moses smiled at this.
Well, it's nice that you're so confident in my abilities. And yes, though I did occasionally slather you with, as you say, unguents, there is a finite limit at which the human body can heal itself.
So what are you trying to say?
You've been in a coma for a month.
The room tilted and swam for a moment, and Roz has to clutch the edge of the table to steady herself.
Mikhail, he had to have what?
Moses was there, a comforting hand on her back.
Breathe, he said. It's okay. Breathe.
Roz forced herself to inhale, exhale, inhale.
Okay, she said. I'm okay.
She sat up, not liking the buzzing sensation that suffused her head.
I'm sorry, Moses said. I hadn't wanted to break it to you right away.
I'm fine, Roz replied. She wasn't.
You aren't, Moses said. But I think I have some good news for you. Because while you were sleeping, Mikhail did indeed arrive in the meantime and set to work. But maybe not in the way that you think.
Oh, she asked, keeping optimism at arm's length.
Indeed, Moses said. But why don't I let him tell you for himself? He too has been concerned for your health. So I sent a sentry pod with a message as soon as you woke up.
Okay, then, Roz said. In fact, he should be arriving any... There was a knock at the door. Mikhail looked different. Sure, he still was possessed of a great red beard and a loping, hunched gait, but he had eschewed his more practical raiment for a tweed three-piece suit and a bow tie. He still wore his heavy boots, though, and Roz could imagine that she saw the ash of the block upon them. Funny how no matter how far you ran from the past, it still found a way to dog your steps.
Roz! He said, stepping through the doorway and sweeping her into a hug. It was like being enveloped by a great benevolent bear. Mikhail! She said, her voice muffled by his lapels.
He stepped back, straightening his coat.
Apologies. It's just such a bam of Nepenthe to see you hale and hearty once again.
Thanks, she said. They shuffled awkwardly for a beat. Then Moses rolled his eyes and said,
Come on, you two. Join me back in the kitchen. I'll whip up something to eat while you two play catch-up.
This is amazing, Roz said from around a mouthful of greens.
She'd had her fill of wild salad on her journey, and like Gregor, she thought she'd sworn off Flora for life. But this...
Veritably Ambrosia,
Mikhail agreed, his cheeks bulging under his beard as he tried to shovel more food into his mouth. Moses laughed.
I'm glad you like it. It's just a little sneak peek of what I'm working on for the conference.
Roz chewed and swallowed, then looked forlornly at her plate, which had somehow gone from heaped with delectable vegetation to being curiously empty in a nonce. Oh yeah? She asked. I thought you were an artificer, the way that Gregor talked about you, obsessively. In fact, I seem to recall him referring to you as a fucking mad genius polymath. Moses laughed.
Ha! Well, I tend to characterize myself as... irresponsibly financed ADD, but I appreciate his adultation. However, I have been dabbling in something greater than artifice as of late.
Such as?
Such as exploring the intersection between technology, food, and nature. Becoming one with your environment, then taking it all apart and rebuilding it according to your own vision. We artificers are supposed to be these great creators, but we get stuck looking for things that are obvious and expected instead of what they could have become. Basically, I'm looking for a way to show people the beauty and mutability of the world around them.
Wow, Roz said, as Mikhail shook his head in a kind of proud yet knowing amazement.
It's just an idea for now. I'm still working on it a little bit. Of course, I need to get moving if I'm to be ready this weekend.
Roz started.
This weekend?
She rounded on Mikhail.
That means you found him. The chairman. Was he hard to convince? How did you tell him? Does he...
Oh, for God's sake, Moses said. Don't keep the poor girl in suspense, Mikhail. Just tell her.
Tell me what?
Roz asked. Mikhail took another slow bite, then masticated a bit before saying...
Back when we met, it was Anderlecht, then. Naturally, he waited a beat for effect, then resumed. Ideal circumstances. And in my post-cataclysmic canniness, I could not be entirely sure that you two were not agents of Silos sent to purloin the book. Enough exposition, Mikhail, Moses said. Out with it. I've never enough exposition, Mikhail replied huffily, then to Roz.
I'm sorry, my dear, but I was afraid and unsure, so I might have left out some details as to my past doings with the chairman. For you see, the mantle of chairman is passed down from generation to generation, and is assigned in turn to be a member of each society in order. 2 generations back, she was an artist, from before the diaspora, and then an artificer, about whom you may have heard wondrous tales, took up on the mantle. Then,
oh, for crying out loud, it's him, Roz! Mikhail is the chairman, he always has been!
You, sir, have no respect for dramatic tension, Mikhail said,
and you like it far too well.
That's fair.
Roz's head was spinning. So you, she said, with more than a little incredulity.
Is it so hard to believe?
Mikhail asked, straightening a bit.
Have I not the quiet dignity required for the post?
Quiet?
Ha! You're not even quiet while you're eating, Moses said.
Plus there's Zakoli sediment on your lapel, Roz added. Mikhail looked down at the beige daub decorating his suit front and said,
I suppose there is. Still, I mark it as little more than a testament to the greatness of the meal, like a resounding belch in olden times.
Better the former than the latter, I suppose, Moses said.
Unless you're my tailor, Mikhail said, wiping at the spot with a napkin. Also, seems a shame to have wasted even a scintilla of such a fine reduction.
Back on the subject of the conference, Roz said, Moses tells me that you've managed to procure the involvement of all the necessary parties.
I have, Mikhail said.
And how'd you manage to come all this way? Gregor and I were nearly overtaken at the pass. Mikhail looked embarrassed.
As I may have mentioned, I didn't know whether or not you two were trustworthy, so I was leery about sharing my modus of travel.
Which is?
Nedge dropped me off.
Roz wrinkled her brows.
The library. What's left of it. You may recall how I mentioned that it opens the door on wherever it needs to be. Well, a couple of weeks ago I stepped through the portal and found myself at Moses's doorstep, conveniently enough.
A Nedge? The book?
Away. And safe, for now.
That's good, I suppose.
I know you had your heart set on using the book, but if even half of what Gregor's been telling me about your plans is true, then you shan't need its assistance.
Roz said. She hadn't shared the exact details of her plans with even Gregor. Funny that he should say she had.
In any case, yes. I have corralled the parties in question. However...
However what?
Well, you must understand how it is here, Roz. The people of the Tech Republic, they've had it very well for a long time. There are people au courant, and thus assured of their safety. They'll not be as easy as some to convince of the danger of Silos, even in the face of the last fortnight's occurrences.
Roz narrowed her eyes and leant towards Mikhail. She looked at him hard and said,
And just what do you mean by occurrences?
Mikhail coughed into his fist and said,
Well, you see, we'd come to an accord while you were sleeping that we wouldn't, that is, until you were feeling better, and Gregor, he was so concerned that it might be too much for you.
Moses, more direct by far, interrupted the other man mid-stammer and said,
They're here, Roz. Silos arrived in the TR about 2 weeks after you did.
Roz rose from her chair, knocking it back, her face a bas-relief in terror.
Please don't be upset, Mikhail said. With only your salubrity in mind.
Shut up, you,
she growled, not even looking at him.
And you,
she said, pointing an accusatory finger at Moses's chest.
You tell me what's been happening, and so help me, if you withhold even one detail on account of my so-called delicate state, I guarantee even your vaulted hammer will not save your ass.
Moses smiled grimly.
Of that I have no doubt, he said. 2 weeks after you arrived, and just after Gregor's nudist escaped, citizens of the Tior began to disappear, and not from the fringe territories either. Inner districts, well-protected ones.
Mikhail cut in, ticking statistics off on his fingers. Thus far, we've had 2 disappearances from Puschenstein, 4 from San Markopo, 1 from the Long Poland, and a whopping 13 from Bangladesh. Ross had forgotten about the TR's penchant for pun-based nomenclature.
But that can't be all, she said.
It isn't, Moses agreed. There have been sightings, Silos agents appearing in public places, not anywhere near the scenes of the disappearances, which could be seen as less or more distressing depending on how you look at it.
And how do you look at it?
Far worse. For one thing, it means that Silos has at least 1 collaborator in the TR. Long Poland, Bangladesh, these places aren't like my farm. They have automated defenses capable of detecting and neutralizing hostile forces a long way off.
Ross thought back to Rhonda's dad field and nodded. But they were hit anyway.
They were. Which means that a citizen of the TR had to have somehow ferried them past the city defenses.
Ross nodded. Right then, she said. Then we simply call a conference. Tell them what's been happening and demand a course of action. They can't turn their back on this.
Actually, they can, Moses said, which is why we're not going to address it straight away.
Are you bloody having me on? Ross shouted, all pretense of patience having been cast aside.
After all this work, and they'll not, they won't.
Moses crossed over to her and said,
It's not like that, Ross. These are good people and smart. But had Mikhail approached even the most cautious of them and said, Look here, comrades, I'll need you to attend a conference of some import for the express purpose of perilous doings on the horizon that we might countenance the threats that lap even now our near shores. They'd have turned him out for a paranoid rabble-rouser, chairman or no.
I don't talk like that. Do I talk like that? Mikhail asked.
Ross ignored him.
Allow me to put it plain. Ross said, locking eyes with Ross. This is not the state of play with its feudal Maestrian pupils. The Greater Tech Republic, as it's officially known, is very little more than an anarchic loose affiliation of states with little in the way of centralized federation. TR citizens have always had a strong distrust of municipal authorities, and with good reason, because for every molecule of undifferentiated matter that one pulls from the public feed, a record is made in the centralized database. And knowing that someone somewhere is watching your every move, judging you by your every failure, it breeds paranoia, and paranoia breeds distrust, even of one's confederates.
Ross thought on Rhonda and nodded gravely.
And what's more, Moses said, we have yet to identify the traitor in our midst. If we tip our hand, let them know and we know they're out there, they might go to ground until they can...
Recrudes, Mikhail said.
Moses sighed.
Return,
he finished. So what then? Do we just bring the conference together and then spring it on them at the last second?
That would be even worse, Mikhail said. No, we're going to have to go forward as if everything is copacetic. But since Silos knows and fears it, when artificers come together in force, it will be there too, and we'll be ready.
Gregor returned hours later, looking fat and happy.
Find what you were looking for? Roz asked.
Oh, yes, Gregor said, flopping into a near chair.
Moses and Mikhail had gone out to take care of some of the more mundane details of bringing a large number of artisans together, leaving Ross and Gregor the run of Moses' city house. Ross had been tempted to raid the fridge, or at the very least, pick some of the wild fruits that hung about the place, but had managed to resist, mostly. She picked desultorily at the bowlful of chickpeas in her lap, and wondered how much more she could fit on her tummy. The two sat in companionable silence for a bit, and then she said,
Mikhail told me that you knew my plan.
If this startled Gregor at all, he didn't show it. He simply blinked the slow blink of a man with many fried foods in his gullet and said,
I did that.
And what makes you think you know it?
she asked, trying to sound casual.
Why do you ask?
He countered, equally casual. Roz had had enough. She set her bowl aside and said,
This isn't a joke, Gregor. It's not a game. What we're dealing with here is a matter of survival, so I need you to tell me how much you think you know.
Gregor rolled his eyes and said,
Yeah, I know. I also know that you play everything so close to the chest, Roz. You tell these stories about your past, but you never really let anyone in. You've got this wall up all the way around you, and I don't think that, even if I know you for a million years, you'll ever really let me in.
Roz sat back and folded her arms.
Gee, she said, I can't see why that might be. I'm sure it has nothing to do with everyone I ever cared about being killed or taken by some horrible force of nature.
Gregor stood.
Everyone? Because I'm standing right here, Roz. I'm right here, and you care about me. I know it. So yeah, I told Mikhail that I knew your plan, because I like to think I know at least a little bit about you, even though you don't like to share.
Well, go on then, Roz shouted, standing up and facing him. Tell me what you think you know. What's my plan for saving me and you and everyone damn else in the world?
The cello, he said.
What?
Come on, Gregor scoffed. You only keep it with you all the time. When you wake up, you check to see if it's still there. I've seen you do it. And when you go to sleep, and when you eat. Hell, you've carried the damn thing with you for years. I mean, I know that musicians love their instruments, but there has to be something else there. And I think it's more than a cello. I think it's the cello.
Roz started to reply, then faltered. Come again? She asked.
I came up with the idea when we were in the block, he said. I mean, it's all so obvious. The block fell to Silo, sure, but it also started to fail when the book did. Like Nedge said, the fate of the two was tied together. Then I got to thinking about the state and the art house and the TR. Because why should the block be the only one to have some weird central source of power?
And you think my cello is it?
I don't think it's your cello, he said. I think it's probably your teacher's and his teacher's and so on. Hell, it might not even be a cello all the time. But what I do think it is the heart of the state. Some kind of power nexus that takes the shape of whatever the musician holding it needs it to be.
For what purpose?
I think it's a weapon.
A weapon.
Not as in, look at this here cudgel, made of hewn of spruce and maple. Now hold still while I thwack you with it. But something that can be used against an enemy of art.
Against Silos.
And why not?
Because not everything is a weapon. Because maybe I've lost everything and I just want to be able to hang on to something beautiful. Gregor opened his mouth to reply, then stopped.
I'm sorry, he said. I shouldn't have assumed. It was silly of me to think that you'd trust me with your precious plan.
Roz stepped close to him.
What is your problem? She asked.
Gregor took a half step back, but she just followed him.
My problem is that when Moses and Mikhail put me to the question, I didn't have anything for them. They were looking at me all expectantly, like I was your partner. And what was I supposed to say? Gee, guys, I sure appreciate you assuming us to be equals and all, but Roz and I aren't like that. I mean, do you even realize you never once explained to me how you saved my ass back at Janus? How you managed to push back a tidal wave of Silo's influence with a little note? Ha! Gregor doesn't need to know stuff like that. How to defeat the enemy, so long as he pulls his weight. Let's face it, Roz. I'm more of your stalwart errand boy than anything else.
It isn't like that, and you know it.
Then what is it? Gregor cried. What are we? Partners? Friends? What?
She mumbled something, not looking at him.
I said I don't know, she cried, her eyes wet with tears.
Gregor didn't think. He just took her in his arms and kissed her. She tasted like chickpeas, and underneath that, a bare medicinal whiff. But it was a good kiss, She stiffened in his arms, then relaxed and kissed him back as he ran one hand through her long brown hair. She fit her body against his, her strong hands grasping the sides of his head, pulling him close. There was a need there, primal and relentless. And then she was gone. Gregor staggered.
What?
He asked. That was wrong, she said, from a surprising distance away. Even freshly arisen from a coma, she was fast. Please, don't do it again.
What?
He repeated. Why?
Wasn't losing Anatoly enough for you? Because in the coming weeks, there's a good chance one of us will be gone, and I, for one, have lost enough people I care for to last a lifetime.
Roz! He said. But she was already at the door.
It was beautiful, you know, Mikhail said, staring out over the massed humanity of the Tech Republic. His prolixity, having reached its zenith earlier that day, had waned with the application of multiple craft beers to his gullet.
The block, like this, a bit.
I know, Moses said. Evening had fallen, and the two were sitting in two of the obscenely comfortable chairs on the third floor balcony of Moses's city house. There was a long silence. Moses took a long pull of beer, then stared at the bottle as the last light of day played upon its surface.
I still hold out hope, Mikhail said, that one day I'll return home and find it like it was, that all of this desolation was just a dream I dreamt, ephemeral and silly by the morning's light.
Well, if it is a dream, Moses said, it's one we're all having together.
Mikhail sighed.
A nightmare, then.
So pessimistic, Moses said, rising from his seat and stretching.
Get you another beer?
Mikhail took stock of the empties lined up next to his chair and said,
Sure, let's make it an even half dozen.
Moses fished two brown bottles from a nearby cooler full of ice.
Sometimes the old ways are the best ways, especially when it comes to beer, he'd said,
and cracked them open, handing one to Mikhail.
Thanks, Mikhail said, taking a long pull. But don't I have every right to be? Pessimistic, that is. Because my hearth and home have fallen into enemy hands, and all that stands between the people below and utter annihilation is we four. It's a tall order.
Moses nodded.
True, but you underestimate the people of the Tior. Look out there, he said, and behold a cavalcade of wonders, a city wrought by persons whose imaginations are too big to be contained, too wildly beautiful to be restrained. They look at what is, and they imagine what can be. I have to believe that they'd never give into the hopelessness that Silos preys upon.
And yet, it seems that some have. Look at Rhonda, said. Hell, look at Gregor's friend, Anatoly. Each gave in, each turned. But what did they have in common? They were loners. All. Gregor and Anatoly worked together, as did Rhonda and Sed. But they did so while divorced from the TR as a whole. And when you take your ball and go home, as it were, it's easy to let the little frustrations build into something more than the sum of their parts. A community, though, he said, gesturing out at the city in the distance. A community eases those burdens. It helps you look at your little faults and insignificant failings for what they are. It gives you perspective.
And that's what Rhonda lost and Anatoly? Perspective?
Among other things.
Three stories below, Roz slammed out through the front door and went stalking down the street. Mikhail craned to look at her, but Moses seemed content with his knowledge of what had just occurred. Mikhail observed her for a moment and said,
I wonder what that was all about.
They're in love, Moses said, rolling the empty beer bottle between his hands.
Mikhail's eyebrows shot up.
No, he said, vaguely scandalized. In love or something like it, Moses said. People who've been through the fire, they can get all bound up together. It can be confusing, and Roz doesn't need any more confusion right now. Gregor should let her be.
Love is a battlefield,
Mikhail said into his beer bottle, which was suddenly and mysteriously empty again. The morning of is cool and brisk. Roz shrugs her jacket over her shoulders and steps out into the hall. Moses set her up with a hotel room after her conversation with Gregor. She is grateful that he didn't ask why she needed it. She walks down the hall as other attendees emerge all around her, toting bags heavy with various termini and notebooks and sundry small electronic miracles. They chatter happily to one another, postulating on what surprises the day might hold in store. It infects her, their optimism, and by the time she makes the front door, she thinks that maybe things will work out after all. The journey has been long, hard. She's lost so much and gained so little. But even as she ruminates upon the cruelty of the past, the optimism of those around her burns through the fog. Perhaps they know something she does not. Gregor meets her outside. He doesn't look her in the eyes, not quite. But he does stand close by her side and says, "I'm sorry." "Me too." The Grand Marshal is there, and behind him a great phalanx of expatriate musicians. The sight fills her heart with something that has no name. But if it did, it would sound a lot like hope. Ruminating on the idea of hope, she fishes a lolly out of her pocket and hands it to a small girl standing nearby, her sticky hand snugged into her mother's. "Thanks, lady," the girl crows. "Thank you," Roz replies. Gregor laughs out loud. "So you mean to tell me," he says, "that you hauled that massive bag of sweets clear across creation just to hand them off to a passel of overfed TR kids?" "Maybe," Roz says, "because maybe simple kindnesses are worth some effort." The Grand Marshal signals, and the musicians raise their instruments. Music fills the air, and the massed conference attendees send up a cheer. They march down the street en masse towards the conference hall. Roz stops, just outside the doors, pulling Gregor free the tide of humanity. Inside, she can already hear Mikhail, strike that, the chairman, bidding the attendees welcome to the real-time conference. "I want to talk to you about the other night," she says. He smiles.
"After we saved the world," he says.
Roz smiles back, and they walk through the door.
Nazvenya Babagichi Baba Sitio Inganya.